Those who lived in Arizona, long before it became a state, knew how to make the desert grow. One particular bean, the tepary bean, thrived in the harsh summer, but has almost shriveled into obscurity over time. KJZZ's Mariana Dale reports in the latest installment of our Untold Arizona series.
Welcome Diner in Tucson serves a burrito that pays tribute to some of the oldest known foods grown in the state.
Nice hot tortilla. Our butternut squash is nice and crispy.
Executive chef Michael Babcock adds corn and tepary beans to the squash. Together, these three sisters, as they're called, were the basis for agriculture in Arizona.
As a chef, our jobs are to share culture and to share ingredients. And we just want people to feel like they're connected with the land that they live in.
The beans the diner uses are grown about 100 miles north on the Gila River Indian community. That's where Ramona Button grew up.
I'm of the Akimelotam tribe. Akimelotam meaning river people.
Her dad farmed to feed their family. She remembers how he called their horses in from the desert scrub in Pima.
He would tell them, Oiki him, but the chichpk, or I am a tai chui. Come on in. It's time to work. It's time to plant.
When Ramona was 9, he started to teach her what he knew. And so she joined a hundreds of years old legacy of Pimas who learned how to grow the tepary bean.
My dad would say, this is more wholesome for you.
Each tepary has more protein and fiber than something more common like a pinto. The small beans are white, brown, black, and some are speckled like robin's eggs.
My father said, everything that I'm growing today, it might not exist unless somebody brings it back in.
He stashed away beans in a chest, and after he died, Ramona and her husband Terry used them to start their farm.
I never saw a tepary bean till I got here, and they became my favorite bean.
When he followed Ramona to Arizona, Terry joined farm industry groups and studied the market. He realized two things. The number of native farmers was shrinking, and the proliferation of big box grocery stores hurt the market for traditional foods. Gary Paul Nabhan is a farmer, scientist, and tepary bean evangelist. He lives outside Patagonia, Arizona, not far from where he first saw the beans in the wild.
There's a way that I can't describe in words where tepary's to me taste like the desert itself. They have this nuttiness and this resilience.
Nabhan began researching the plants for his thesis and learned they could grow on monsoon rains alone.
Tepary beans are deeply part of cultures here in the desert. There were over 30 different cultures in Mexico and the United States that grew tepary beans.
He thinks the drought-tolerant tepary's could become a solution for growing food in a hotter and drier Arizona.
We're going to see the agriculture of the future in Arizona and other states looking much more in harmony with the desert.
This is where we planted our white tepary beans.
Gabriel Mendoza is part of a new generation of farmer. He supervises food production at the San Javier Co-op, a community farm outside of Tucson. He cracks open a brittle yellowed pod and smooth white beans fall into his hand.
Agriculture has taught me more about myself than I've ever known. That allows me to think about how it affects more than just the people around me.
Before he worked at San Javier, Mendoza spent more than a decade living away from the reservation.
Learning traditional foods, it tied me back to a piece of my past of growing up.
The demand for tepary beans is now growing outside native communities, but San Javier and the Buttons have to grow thousands of acres of cotton, alfalfa, and wheat to afford to grow 100 acres of tepary's a year.
The only way we're going to be able to enjoy the ability to continue to grow them is if we can make money doing it.
Terry hopes that if the market continues to expand, it will create more opportunities for those on the reservation. Mariana Dale, KJZZ News, reporting near Sacatone.